Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 20th. Joining us this very morning, Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's see what we can do to stomp that out, huh?
Everybody should be happy out there. There's not a whole bunch of children running around on the streets early in the morning creating those rush 5 minutes.
Traffic issues, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They're out of school this week.
All right. Of course, now you're creating lunch issues at home, but that's okay.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And children running around the community at all hours of the day as opposed to just at 8 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
There you go. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
No.
Good. Missouri. What is the reason we say, I'm from Missouri and you'll have to show me?
Well, I think Missouri has something to do with misery, is what I heard. Is that correct? I've heard lots of people from Missouri call misery. I think that's actually wrong, but I know it's got the nickname now.
Oh,
I'm sure I'm going to hear about this.
I suspect so. The expression was popularized by Colonel Van Diver, representative in Congress from Missouri. But it probably originated in the mining town of Leadville, Colorado, where men migrated from Missouri to work in the mines. Because these men were new on the job, the pit bosses constantly said, that man's from Missouri, you'll have to show him.
See, that is not as nice as what I said.
No. And it won't get him in trouble because he's long since passed.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So, all you Cardinal fans, that's Van Fleck who said that one, not Papstein. So how are the big boy projects coming along?
Well, I'll tell you, the granddaddy of them all is getting ready to really take off right now, and that's the Eureka High School Gymnasium. We had a nice groundbreaking ceremony here a couple weeks back on Friday the 7th. Had a nice showing for that, and that was the official kickoff to the building season of the Eureka High School Gym.
So now what? Should there be a hole there fairly shortly?
Well, I wouldn't say there's going to be a hole there tomorrow, but it's coming quickly. And so we expect the gym to be completed by the fall of 2021. You have to keep in mind, 34,000 square foot building. So there's quite a bit of work that needs to go on there. And that includes pre-work with that as well. And so there's a bunch of structural steel that goes with that. And so the first thing that we'll do in the process, not we, and I should say Dinsmore Construction will do in the process. Is,
the royal we. I guess,
yes,
we got
yes,
it. Yeah.
Yes. Is the ordering of the steel. And that takes a while for the structural steel to come in. And so what he'll be working on is trying to coordinate when the arrival of the steel comes and when that particular period of the construction is, and then backdate that, reverse engineer it, if you will, to figure out the exact date the hole in the ground will start. What we don't want is a start-stop type process. And so that's where we're at.
Actually, it's kind of cool sometimes when I think back when we would go to San Francisco, seeing the construction and the cyclone fence with all the wrapping around it. I mean, you'd hear noise going on. You know, some of us were able to look over that and others weren't. But there's kind of like a visual sense that something's occurring rather than seeing nothing for a prolonged period of time.
Well, I don't know if this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. It depends on who you ask. For me, I think it's great. For Dirk Dinsmore, who owns and operates Dinsmore Construction, he may have a different opinion, but guess what my window overlooks?
Yes. You'll be able to see all the dust as it comes up.
Yes, I will see it all the time. So I will be able to have a rapid response to things that are happening over there across the street. But it's actually...
So you're going to get sliding glass door to replace those old windows there?
In my office?
So you can just kind of shoot right across the street?
Oh, if it's a big enough deal, I could shoot out that window, no problem. I may not get up off the ground on the outside of it, but I could go out it.
Yeah. Now, is that entire area that's, I guess, a parking lot now primarily with the portables on it, is that all going to get torn up? Is it a portion of it? Is that the construction zone also so that a whole place will be void? School buses. I mean, some of that actual application of the work when the kids come back in the fall or maybe even in May. How does that change the flow around Eureka High and in the neighborhoods?
Well, I'll give you the long answer to that because it's actually interesting to think about that. And that parking lot has been through multiple iterations of things. At one point, as you said, it was full of portables. When Eureka High School was at its highest enrollment, 2,500 students or so, and so we needed that space for classrooms. Most recently, other than two portable buildings that are on it. It's been used as the athletic facilities for PE. So PE goes out there and plays on the hard courts quite regularly. And now as we move forward in the construction of the new gym, the vast majority of that complete lot will be encapsulated by the new gym. And then there will actually be a covered walkway that connects the cafeteria to the new gym. And the idea behind that is, in inclement weather, because we all know it rains up here, students can get to the gym now without having to walk through the rain. So that will be a nice addition to what we have. So no longer will Humboldt Street right there go all the way through to where the old gym is. That will be blocked off. Our bus drop-off locations will be behind the building of the new gym. So basically, once the old gym is demolished, the new bus drop-off location would be right at basically the front entrance of the old gym.
So there rather than on J.
Correct.
More on K Street.
Yep. Yep, okay. Exactly. And then going back further, a new parking lot will be added, which is roughly the same size as the existing parking lot that will be taken over by the gym behind there. It'll be locked off during the day so the athletics can use it.
Couple stories?
The parking lot?
Yeah.
No, it'd be single story.
Because there's a basement in the gym, right?
There is. It'll actually be stepped down. So it'll be on a lower level than what the new gym building will be.
I was saying, you know, if you throw the second level on it, then the kids aren't having to park on the streets, the neighborhood issues, and some of that kind of stuff. That
yeah, we actually don't.
Happens really... once enrollment kicks back up.
Yeah, that could be definitely be a conversation. But I mean, think about it now. We have more parking than we've ever had, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, the Marshall.
Exactly. So the old Marshall schoolyard is now a parking area for Eureka High School, and it's very well used, especially now that we have neighborhood parking permits. So the students can't park in the neighborhood anymore. They can't park in the Del Norte lot anymore because that's teacher parking.
The senior lot is now...
That is teacher parking, yep.
Permanent,
yes.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is we're building the new ag building in there, and that's well under construction. I encourage people to go by there and take a look.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the gym itself, I think probably everybody's a little anxious just to see and hear stuff. Is it going to be that disruptive to the education for the kids, I guess, in the school year 2021?
See, that's one of the beautiful things about the way we're doing this. So the drawback is we don't get to keep the old gym to building a new gym. And I know there's many people in the community who are connected to that old gym. I understand. My dad graduated from Eureka High School in 1962, and he has memories in that gym. I think pretty much everybody that went to Eureka High School has memories tied to that gym. So that's a disadvantage of tearing down the old gym. But one of the huge advantages is while the new gym is being built, the old gym can be utilized. So there's not a disruption to the athletic or physical education programs for Eureka High School. So all the way up until the day we open the new gym, the old gym will be there, be serviceable, and be usable. But if you think about the disruption of construction beyond that, there's going to be your normal noise and vibrations and clanking and all the things associated with construction that they're experiencing right now with the building of the ag building.
I was going to ask you, under the new location for the gym, yeah, okay, yeah. Are there springs under there? Is that fill? Is that natural?
So where the gym is, my understanding is that's all cut. So no fill in there. So they cut when they put that gym in. Where the fill comes in, there's an old, it used to be kind of a parking lot at one point down below, right behind the tennis courts.
Oh, the pit.
The pit, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so the pit is all fill. And I guess there is everything that you can even imagine in there is fill.
You don't want to dig that one up.
No, no. Yeah. So that's fill. The gym, my understanding, is not.
Okay. And the new gym location is natural also.
Yep, that's my understanding, yep.
So you don't have any springs you have to worry about or any of that kind of stuff?
You really want me to answer that? That's called the unforeseen. We are optimistic that there won't be spring issues. It's good. It's going to be on grade construction, although we'll have to dig down for the foundation,
the footings and
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
So no basement.
No basement.
I've been under the understanding that it's the ground that the structure sits on is the expensive part. So it kind of makes sense, you know, if you've got a footprint you can afford, you add another story until you get to the point where the earthquake stuff really kind of goes screwy on you. It's more efficient to go up than it is to go out.
You know what? I really couldn't tell you that for sure. All I do
wasn't contemplated
is,
on this one, huh?
It was not. Actually, no, we actually talked about it. We talked about what we talked about is a second story observation deck and doing some second story rooms above the auxiliary room, like for instance, putting a weight room up and putting a like a
tread machines.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Cardio. I'll just leave it at that. Machines on the second floor, and it just didn't pencil out. It seemed to be more economical to spread than it was to go up. That was the recommendation of the architect. And keep in mind, we're already up. I mean, there's a tall plate on that wall in order to...
So it's going to block the view of those who have windows across the street when the sun comes up.
That would be Marshall, yes, the district office.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It will.
Good. You kind of went one, two, three, four. You kind of put it all together there.
Yeah, you just burst my bubble. I love that morning sun coming in there. Yeah, I didn't even really think about that.
Now, you mentioned the Ag Building also back in the old teacher's parking lot, that's underway. Is it on time so far?
Nope.
Is it close? Is it within the year?
Yes. Our hope was to get students in there for about the last April and May and the part of June was our plan. The reality is not going to happen. It will be set for the start of next school year, though, and that'll be comfortable. No issues on getting it started for next school year. And the nice thing is Dinsmore Construction, same company building the gym that's building the Ag Buildings, and so they'll just move straight across from the Ag Buildings onto the new gym.
Was it materials? Was it labor? Was it weather? What caused the hiccup in the timeline?
Well, what it is DSA, Division of State Architects, and both of these projects got pushed out considerably. You know, all of you out there, I'm sure, have had the frustration when you're trying to build something and how long it takes to go through plan check, whether it be the county or the city. Put that on steroids and put it in a state agency, and it just is incredibly slow to get it out. The gym building has just been delay after delay after delay coming out of the state architect's office, and it's frustrating.
And no cattle prod opportunities.
The only prodding opportunities are out there are if you want to go political, because they're bureaucratic positions that are appointed positions. But there would be no gain as far as where we're at going down the political route.
Both of these are going to be, I would imagine, at least of this century, if not state of the art. What's going to be the experience for the kids taking classes in these buildings versus the existing buildings? Is it going to be night and day?
Oh, it'll be an absolute difference. But, you think about a basketball court and a basketball court, that's not going to be that much difference. Where the difference in experience is going to be is the actual square footage of play space. We modeled a new gym after having the same amount of play space as the existing gym, including the pool area. And so basically all that square footage that's in the pool area will be increased square footage on the new gym because the pool area hasn't been used since 2007.
So like for wrestling and volleyball, they'll have
exactly.
Separate courts or unique courts?
It'll be flexible use. So you'll have the main court with the bleachers retracted. There'll be two full-size regulation courts that can be played on. There'll be a curtain that comes down between them, so they can be two completely separate practices, PE events, whatever it may be going on in there. Then there is an auxiliary gym in the back, which is another full-size court. So you could have three full-size games going at one time if you're playing basketball, three full-size games going for volleyball. You can be using the back room for wrestling, which will be a primary use in the wintertime when wrestling season's on. It can also be used for dance-type classes or aerobics-type classes during the day for PE. Cheer in the afternoon can use the mats, so they have a safe place to do their practice. And in and out use of those will be taken care of, so the student experience will be positive.
It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Fred, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there with properties, there's a number of the campuses now that are either been sold off or being used for different purposes. You've got Jacobs that's sitting there. I know that the CHP was looking at it. I haven't thought to ask Paul what the update is on that, or has the board of directors, or your board rather, made the determination whether or not they want to sell that property, keep it, blade it, build it? What is the current there?
Well, the current is it is surplus property, and it is 100% for sale right now. And we have two agencies that we're active in negotiations with, one a little more active than the other. And those two agencies, and this is all obviously public information, I'm going to put it out there, is the City of Eureka and the CHP. And CHP is the one that I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about and what their plans are. So CHP has been for years looking for a location for their northern Humboldt headquarters.
You mean get out of the swamp?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, get out of that tsunami zone down there.
The mosquitoes are a little rough, yeah.
Yes, yes. And so they've had a tremendous challenge finding a location that's suitable because it has to suit their antenna, which is tall, so they can reach the whole county to communicate to their folks that are out on the road. Also has to be out of the tsunami zone. Also, they need to have a minimum of 5 acres. And so the Jacobs site really fits the bill for them. And so we've been having a lot of conversations about that. They've appointed who their negotiator is. I'm the negotiator for the school district. And where that's at in process is right now we're waiting for the official appraisal on the property, which will start the negotiations point for a number. So the desire of the CHP is to have that piece of land sold to them as a bare piece of land. And so we'll work through that process. If they become the successful purchaser of that, is we'll do the abatement and demolition of the property. So that will actually help the community over there because it'll get done quicker if we do it as opposed to the CHP, because they will likely be an amount of time even after they purchase it before they ever even step foot on the piece of land.
So you knock it all down. Is there anything underground there? I know there's the asbestos and the old wood shop and the gym and all that kind of stuff, but if you level the building off, is there anything underground?
Not to our knowledge. The only hazardous materials that we're aware of there are asbestos and lead, and both of those are safe unless they're disturbed. And so we have to do that abatement prior to demolishing the buildings. But as they sit right now, it's not a hazard. We're not aware of any underground tanks or anything else that would be hazardous. The soccer fields, rotary fields, would stay with Alice Burney, so those would be married onto that campus. That would not be a part of the conversation. Those would all be staying with the school district. The biggest fear is what is the cost to abate and demolish the property as opposed to how much the CHP offers. And so,
is it less now than it used to be?
What's that?
For the asbestos and the lead? I mean, everything else seems to be coming down as the efficiencies go up, as it happens more and more regularly. Is it as significant an issue today as it was 15, 20 years ago?
Well, for a public entity, yes. And the reason I say yes for a public entity is because we have to pay prevailing wage. And when you're disposing of hazardous materials, you have to pay prevailing wage on the trucking all the way to the disposal site.
And so it's not just down to HWMA or Recology.
Right. Right.
You take it to where they have to take it.
Yep, we have to ship it out of the area, and we have to pay that prevailing wage all the way to the end. We don't know. Until we get a bid, we don't know what the actual cost is. But we believe that the cost to abate and demolish it is going to be somewhere in the $2 million range. And so if you're thinking that's why it hasn't happened to this point, because, you know, the board has been faced ever since. I think the last time students occupied that place was around 2008, somewhere in that neighborhood, when it was an adult education center.
Yeah. And Zoe Barnum was there, too.
Zoe Barnum was there, yep. So basically in 12 years, nothing has been there and nothing has been done other than we keep the windows boarded up. We have alarms on it. We have someone out there as a caretaker that's on the site that takes care of it and tries to keep people out of there as much as possible. But our biggest fear, demolition, if that comes in at $2 million, and then the appraisal on the property comes back at $1.5 million, obviously that deal's not going to work because we can't pay $500,000 to get rid of a piece of property. And so what could potentially happen at that point is the way the negotiations work, if you can't work out a deal with a public agency, then you go out and offer it private. And so potentially a private investor could come in and do some sort of building on the property because they could abate and demolish it much less expensively than us, because if they took the property as is, they wouldn't have the prevailing wage issues for demolition.
So it could be kind of like what we were hearing with the NBA and the Major League Baseball, a three-way deal. You sell it to them, they sell it to a private.
Well, no, we would sell it to a private.
You sell it to the private. The private then
abates it, or sells
it to the CHP, and they have it. You just have to work it through an intermediary. So to avoid the prevailing wage,
that is possible. But once it gets sold to a private, because it's not legal to just skirt around prevailing wage like that.
So you can do a contract to whoever the developer is, and the developer at the same time do the contract to the CHP. So it ends up in the CHP's hands, but at something that's affordable for the school district.
That is possible. But I would be really reticent to completely agree to that, because again, like I said, it wouldn't. I think it would be less than legal to do something like that to specifically avoid prevailing wage.
Versus losing your buns, or having it sit there and rot.
Well, no. The other option is you just sell it to private. And then private can do what they could turn around and sell it to the CHP, or they could turn around and develop it into single family homes or whatever.
Luxury condos.
That's possible, but doubtful.
Yeah, I suspect so.
But I'll tell you, there's some nice views in that area, though.
Above the bluff line there, you got the mouth. Yeah.
Especially if you built up a two-story house in that vicinity, you'd get a great view out over the bay. I think anything in that area would be a plus to the neighborhood, because you take a look at what's there right now, that's nothing that anybody's...
Pampas grass is not really cool. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can even get the roads taken care of, too. Yeah, KINS, yeah. News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred. Hey, where are you with the budget process? Last time we got together, you said that Newsom was kind of semi-generous and indicated that there might be some bucks coming into the educational system that come to fruition?
Well, the unfortunate reality of what's happening with the state budget is that our cost of STRS and PERS, which are pensions, and the rising costs of special education are outpacing the increased revenue that's coming from the state. So that makes it challenging, but I'll tell you, what is helping us out a lot right now is our expanded enrollment. Right now, our middle schools, Zane and Winship and Eureka High School, are knocking it out of the park. We've had growth at those three schools like I've not seen in the past 8 years that I've been in the district. I'm happy to report, I think that the community and their putting their children in those schools has really been turning for us, and a lot of confidence in those schools.
Yeah, how come?
Showing in enrollment.
Was it a single event?
No. I think it's just been a concerted effort over time that we've had to work hard. We've got strong principals in those locations who are doing a great job with strong staffs in those locations. And at the end of the day, what really makes or breaks schools is the experience that students have with their teachers and the experience parents have with sending their students there. And I think that portion for Eureka City Schools is really turning now, and it's starting to show in the number of students that are coming in. This current year, for the 1920 year, we had our largest freshman class that we've had since back in the early 2000s. We're looking at having our largest freshman class again for next year, for the 2021 year. So we're going to have two large classes in Eureka High School, and those are students that are coming straight out of our middle schools into the high school. And so that's exciting to report, and it's taken a long time to start to turn that ship, but it's starting to happen, and I give that credit out to the staff out there in each of our schools.
How about the parents?
Well, the parents.
Somebody's got to be having the kids here, buddy.
Well, yeah. Well, the good news is we had some PSPSs this year, so we're looking 5 years down the road to have an influx in our kinder enrollment.
With the early-earlies, is that part of the enrollment? Does that count the same as like a kid going to junior high or at the high school?
Well, that depends. In a unified school district, which we're a city schools, which is similar to a unified, meaning you're K-12, a kindergartner earns the same as a high school student. However, if you're a Union High School District, for instance, Northern Humboldt, which is McKinleyville and Arcata, they get a higher rate than an elementary school district. So for us, they just average it out. But if you're like, say, a South Bay, you would get less money than a Arcata High School.
What about the pre-kindergarten, the nursery school kids?
So preschool, Winslow Children's Center, man, that place is knocking it out of the park. We have a wait list that we can't keep up with. It's a state-funded preschool, and so it is dramatically less than what we get at the K-12 level, but we do get a great reimbursement from
Maybe that's what you can use Jacobs for if you have to blade it.
There you go. But have you seen the Winslow Children's Center lately? Man, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's love the open fence.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your week off. See everybody tomorrow.